Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Whatever things were written before were written by God's Spirit for our instruction in righteousness. That word which forms the basis for our patience and comfort today comes from Genesis chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. Then the Lord appeared to him, that is Abraham, by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring you a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant." They said, "Do as you have said." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son." Sarah was listening in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Here ends the word of the Lord. Well, that's not altogether true, because the word of the Lord does not end there. In fact, it forms the basis now for God's message to you. And so we pray, Lord, visit us today with your sure and certain promises and cause us to believe that with you, nothing is impossible. Amen. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, dear fellow redeemed, last week I received an email saying you won $2.8 million via Western Union. Sounds like a pretty good deal, huh? Almost too good to be true. Well, that's because it is. The email goes on, "Contact the Western Union agent, Mr. Vincent Rex. You will pay him $210 for the processing of the ownership certificate before he will give you the information to pick up your first payment of $5,000. Most of us in today's day and age have come to recognize such scams. In fact, we chuckle at it. We laugh within ourselves because we know that this promise is just a fake. These scammers are offering something that they never intend to follow through on. Nor could they, even if they were genuine. When Sarah hears that she's going to bear a child in her 90s, she laughs within herself. The Hebrew word here is onomatopoetic. It sounds like what it means. Sakach, She laughs. We read earlier in chapter 17 that Abraham too laughed within himself at this idea. In a twist of irony, the Lord says to Abraham, Sarah, your wife, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Yitzchak. In English, Isaac. A name which means I laughed. When God speaks promises, he is not shuffling a scam. He will never fail to make good on what he said. Remember Isaac. Some of us have been expecting visitors this week. What do you do to prepare? Perhaps you clean something that doesn't normally get cleaned. Or perhaps you plan a meal when normally you would pop in a frozen pizza. You open your cupboards, you wash the linens, you open the futon. Now, what would you do if you found out one of these visitors was God? We read in our text, the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. Our text doesn't tell us how Abraham recognized these three men or why he was so insistent that they stay. But it does tell us Abraham's reaction. He runs to the tent door to meet them. He bows himself to the ground saying, Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass by. We need to ask the same question. Have I found favor in your sight, O Lord? We ask this because we know down deep we don't deserve it. Have we thoroughly cleaned up our life? Have we dropped what we're doing to run to the door and greet the Lord? Or are we so often too busy to even recognize that here he is, in our presence, passing through to speak to us? Consider Mary and Martha in our gospel text. It was not that what Martha was doing was inherently sinful. The point is not that you need to drop everything, quit your job, abandon your kids, and enter into a monastery. The difference between Mary and Martha is that Martha is troubled and distracted, and she forgets where the true rest is going to be found. She forgets that the Lord is passing through in the flesh right in front of her, and Mary has chosen the good thing. The Lord is passing through in our lives too. Every opportunity we have to hear the word and to share in the blessings of what Christ has given to us is a moment where the Lord is passing through. How often are we troubled by many things? As fathers, we're so busy with work that we neglect the time needed to spend with our wife or our children. We forget the commitments and the call to lead our family in an evening devotion or in a prayer before bed. As a wife, perhaps you're too busy planning and organizing everything that you don't even notice that you've lashed out at your husband for some small thing like leaving the cap off the toothpaste. As a child, maybe you're too busy playing that you don't hear your parents calling for dinner again and again. Or maybe you've been consumed with health complications, bills, stress. Whether you're a pastor, a teacher, a construction worker, a mom, or a child, it makes no difference. We've all had those moments where we're busy and troubled about many things. This is our time to bow our face to the dust. These are the areas of our life that we just haven't gotten cleaned up. And we couldn't, no matter how hard we tried. No matter what show we put on in front of other people, it's just not enough to entertain a holy God. We wonder, have I found favor in your sight, O Lord? Well, stop wondering. The reason why God is passing through is to take all these things away from you. He doesn't do this because of your accommodations or what Abraham would do to serve him. He stops and visits because of who he is and what he has promised. He's promised to Abraham that in his seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed through his descendants. It's not to scam him. It's not to scam you. In fact, he doesn't ask you to give something before he's going to give you everything. His favor is pure grace, undeserved. He stops by man to man to take all your burdens, all your sins, and provide the fulfillment of God's righteousness for you. This is where we bow before the man, Jesus, knowing now that God's favor is with us. As Jesus himself said, "The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. He comes not to destroy, but to save, to bear the busyness of your sinful thoughts, the moments of looking away from Christ's will and lusting after things that you shouldn't." Jesus has carried the guilt of each moment in which you've ignored God's ways. He's borne the scorn that we deserve. He's been laughed at, ridiculed. And yet here he stops. Your baptism is the moment where God stops to spend eternity with you. We read it in our gospel reading, "You who were once enemies in your mind by wicked works have now been reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." All the work that Abraham does, preparing a nice meal, slaughtering the calf, bringing out the best fixings, are all a byproduct of faith, of the confidence that he has now that God has accepted him because of his promises. And so also your life becomes an act of faith, where you bring out the best fixings, where when you go to your job, it's to serve the Lord. When you come home to your family, it's to bring out the best things for Christ and in response to his salvation. The Lord is passing through with promises. So why is it that you don't believe that $2.8 billion have been placed into your bank account? There's no credentials. There's nothing to back up the promise, to prove that this company is legitimate. The fact that they're asking money from you first is really the first clue that this is a scam. On the other hand, when someone comes who does have the credentials, who is legitimate, who is offering things freely with no strings attached, what is our response? Sarah laughs within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" That's Abraham being old also. The Lord responds, "Why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you, and Sarah shall have a son." The Lord says nothing more than "behold." Nothing more than a word to accomplish what he has chosen to do. His name shall be called Yitzchak. That's right. Sarah laughed and God delivered. Remember Isaac. This week in Vacation Bible School, we're studying a series called God Speaks to Us, the Prophets of the Bible. There are over 2,000 prophecies in the Old Testament that came true to the exact detail. And who do they all center in? Where are they all united? From Moses, Elijah, Isaiah, John the Baptist, they all center in one, the greatest of all, Jesus. The one to whom Abraham was promised, "In your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed." Remember Isaac. Isaac is a stitching in the weaving of God's tapestry of salvation. From the beginning of time, God's been weaving it. And if Isaac is not born, then a thread is left hanging and the picture never gets completed. But that thread would be sewn. In fact, it would be sewn and stitched throughout the Old Testament as the Lord came to Isaiah saying, "Behold, again, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, an even more marvelous thing than having a child in your old age, a virgin, knowing no husband shall give birth to him who is called Emmanuel." Behold, God's will is accomplished. God is with us. He keeps his promises despite all the odds against us. In fact, when you find yourself in worse distress, in a tragedy, depressed, when all the odds are against you, remember Isaac. When Sarah laughed, God lifted up. He lifted up his son on the cross to pay for all your sins, and he lifted up his son from the grave to declare you righteous in his eyes. This is the most wonderful work of all, which the psalmist writes, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's work. It is marvelous in our eyes." Nothing is too wonderful for him. And God has promised that nothing is too wonderful to give to you. Even in the midst of suffering, pain, rejection, failure, and every other evil, God will keep his promises. As he says in Isaiah, "The mountains shall depart, the hills be removed, but my kindness will not depart. My covenant of peace will not be removed." In the resurrection of Jesus, God has proven that all things are possible. Nothing is too wonderful. And what he is concerned about above all else is the salvation of your soul, protecting you from all evil and giving you eternal life. Maybe you know that couple that has trouble conceiving. That's barren. Nothing's too wonderful for God. Maybe you're the one suffering for illness or financial difficulties. Maybe you're the one looking for that right spouse, a Christian husband or wife. We can't say that God will fulfill all these promises in terms of temporal blessings. But what can we say? That he promises to bless you in even more wonderful ways. Maybe the blessing will be the faith to overcome your doubts, your anxieties, your worries. Maybe the blessing is that he'll lead you to a stronger faith. Remember how long Abraham and Sarah had to wait for this to be fulfilled? He's equipping you. He's blessing you when you don't know it. He's leading you to pray and rely on his final decision. He wants to give you what is good. "For we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen." God's promise is to give you every blessing and make it unconditional. It doesn't depend on you, for he has forgiven all your sins. And now we pray that his kingdom would come, that his will would be done, and that his name would be hallowed. Remember Isaac. Don't get caught up in the schemes of the world. They ask you for something first before God will give you something in return. Rather, get caught up in the schemes of God. He asks nothing and gives you everything. Don't laugh. It's true. God is passing through with promises, and nothing is too wonderful for him. Remember Isaac. Amen.